Sefer Devarim is called by the name Mishneh Torah, which means a repetition of the Torah. We must understand, why were the mitzvahs repeated in Sefer Devarim after having already been written in the previous four Svarim? Also, why were only some mitzvahs repeated and not all of them? And thirdly, out of the 200 mitzvahs stated in Sefer Devarim, 70 are mitzvahs that were not stated in the previous Svarim. Why were these 70 first mentioned now? Rav Shamsul Raphael Hirsch explains that Klal Yisrael were about to embark on a totally new life in Eretz Yisrael. They would no longer see Hashem's constant presence and daily miracles as they had seen in the Midbar. They would plow, they would plant, and they would harvest. They would need strong faith to avoid the temptations of their neighbors who acted immorally. The purpose of Sefer Devarim was to warn Klal Yisrael to be strong and to stress the laws and values of being Hashem's nation. Moshe actually reviewed and taught all the mitzvahs of the Torah in his final weeks. But in this Sefer, the Torah only records the parts of his teachings that were most relevant for Klal Yisrael's new life in its land. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Bey says that there is a difference between the klolos, the curses, written in Sefer Vayikra in Parshas Bichukosai, and the klolos written in Sefer Devarim in Parshas Kisavot. The klolos in Sefer Vayikra, Moshe Mipi HaGevura Omron, were said by Hashem. However, the klolos of Sefer Devarim, Moshe Mipi Atzmei Omron, were said by Moshe himself. The Mepharshim explain that Moshe Mipi Atzmei Omron cannot be taken literally that Moshe said it himself, since the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Tes Amin Aleph, says that if someone says that the whole Torah was written by Hashem except for one pasuk, which was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, Devar Hashem Bozo, he is being mevazeh the word of Hashem. So what does it mean, Moshe Mipi Atzmei Omron? Vilna Gaon, quoted in Sefer Oel Yaakov from the Dubna Magid, says that there is a fundamental difference between the first four Svarim and Sefer Devarim. The first four Svarim, Hashchina Midaberes Mitech Groinah Shel Moshe, they were heard directly from Hashem through the throat of Moshe. Moshe would speak to Klal Yisrael while the Shechina was still upon him. This was not so for Sefer Devarim. Klal Yisrael heard the words of this Sefer the way they heard the words of the Nevi'im who came after Moshe. Hashem would speak to the Navi today, and on a later day he would go and make the vision known to Klal Yisrael. At the time that the Navi related his Nevuah, the Shechina had already departed from him. So too concerning Sefer Devarim, the Shechina had already departed from Moshe when he related the laws to Klal Yisrael. That is the meaning of Moshe Mipi Atzmei Omron. Not that Moshe was saying laws that were not from Hashem, but rather everything was from Hashem. Just, it was not on the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midaber Mitoich Groinah Shel Moshe like the other four Svarim. We must also keep in mind that the whole Sefer Devarim was spoken by Moshe in the last 5 weeks of his life. Since we know that Moshe died on Zayin Adar, the seventh day of Adar in the 40th year in the Midbar. And in Pasuk Gimel, the Torah tells us that these words of Musar were said by Moshe on Rosh Chodesh Shvat of the 40th year, which was 5 weeks before Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Arachayim finds a remez to this in the word Eile. Eile is Begematria 36. From Rosh Chodesh Shvat until Zayin Adar is 36 days. For 36 days he spoke words of Musar to Klal Yisrael. Eile, for 36 days, HaDevarim, were these words of Musar said to Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk starts off, Eile HaDevarim, these are the words of rebuke, Asher Dibe Moshe, that Moshe spoke, El Kol Yisrael, to all of Klal Yisrael. Moshe gathered everybody together to say these words of Musar. Because if he would have spoken to only part of the people, those who were absent could have said, had we been there, we would have refuted Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Moshe gathered everybody together, and he told them, if you have something to respond, respond now. Be'ever HaYarden, and these words of Musa were said across the Yarden, on the east side of the Yarden, in Arvois Moav. And then the Pasuk says Moshe's words of rebuke, by naming the places where Klal Yisrael sinned. It does not say the actual sin, but rather the places where they sinned. Rashi explains that this was out of respect for Klal Yisrael, that the Averis were only mentioned in a vague manner, by mentioning the location of the sin, but not the actual sin. Bamidbar, he rebuked them concerning what they did in the Midbar. When they came to Midbar Sin, 30 days after leaving Mitzrayim, they ran out of food, and complained to Moshe saying, Halavai, we should have died in Mitzrayim. Bo'arava, concerning the Avera they did in Arvois Moav, which was worshipping the Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor, Mael Suf, opposite the Yam Suf. He rebuked them concerning two averis they did by the Yam Suf. Firstly, when they were sandwiched between the Yam Suf in front of them and the Mitzrayim behind them, they complained to Moshe saying, "Is it because of the lack of graves in Mitzrayim that you brought us into the Midbar to kill us over here?" And the second avera was when they came out of the Yam Suf after Kriyas Yam Suf. They said, "Just like we came out alive on one side, so too did the Mitzrayim come out alive on the other side and will continue to chase us." Bein Paron, the avera they did in Midbar Paron, which was sending the Meraglim. Uvein Toifel v'Lavon, and the Toifel, the slander they said about the Lavon, the Mon, which was beautiful and white. They called the Mon the Lechem HaKaloikel, the light bread, because they would eat the Mon and they would not have to relieve themselves afterwards. And they said, "Is it possible that a human being can eat and not have to excrete afterwards? What will eventually happen is all this Mon will gather in our stomachs and blow up and kill us later on." Uvein Toifel, the slander they said about the Lavon, about the Mon that was beautiful and white, by calling it the Lechem HaKaloikel. Vachatzeroys, and the Avera that took place in Chatzeroys, Rashi brings down two pshatim. Rashi's first pshat is that it is referring to the rebellion of Korach, which took place in Chatzeroys. Rashi's second pshat is that it is referring to the Lashon Hara that Miriam spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, and that took place in Chatzeroys. And Moshe's rebuke to Klal Yisrael was that you, Klal Yisrael, should have learned from the punishment of Miriam. Miriam received taras for speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore you should not have spoken Lashon Hara against HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Avera of the Meraglim, where over there you said that the giants of Canaan are stronger than Hashem. V'di Zohav, and the Avera that you did because of the abundance of gold that you had, referring to the Egel, which was made out of gold. If you notice, the order of these averas seem to be out of sequence. Mael Suf should have been said first, because the avera that happened by the Yam Suf happened immediately after they went out of Mitzrayim, and that was the first avera that they did. Also, V'di Zov, the Egel, which is last, happened before Paron, the avera of the Meraglim. So why is it said out of order? The Gur Aryeh answers that this was also done mipnei kvodon shel Yisrael, because of the honor of Klal Yisrael. Just like the Torah only mentions the locations and not the actual sins in order to preserve Klal Yisrael's honor, so too the Averus were not placed in chronological order in order to list them in a vague manner, Mipnei Kvodon Shel Yisrael. What we must still understand is what the two words Bein in the Pasuk are teaching us. We explained that Paron is the Avera of the Meraglim, Toifel v'Lavon is the slander against the Mon. Why do we need the extra words Bein Parod u Bein Toifel? Kliyakor is also bothered why Moshe did not mention Klal Yisrael's Avera by the Mei Meriva, where they complained because of the lack of water. The Avera of the Mei Meriva is not mentioned in this Pasuk. Therefore, Kliyakor explains that the words Bein in this Pasuk are alluding to the Avera of the Mei Meriva, because the Avera of the Meraglim happened in Midbar Paron in Parsha Shelach. The Avera of Toifel v'Lavon, where they called the Mon the Lechem HaKaloikel, happened in Parshas Chukas, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Hei. In between these two Averis, in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, was the Avera of the Mei Meriva. The Pasuk is saying, Bein Paron, between the Avera of Paron the Meraglim, Ubein Toifel, and between the Avera concerning the Mon, they did another Avera, and that was the Avera of the Mei Meriva. And the reason why this Avera is only mentioned in the most hidden way is because Moshe himself sinned by the Avera of the Mei Meriva when he hit the rock. He therefore did not want to give Klal Yisrael direct Musar on something that he himself sinned. And Moshe continued and said, Achar Oso Yoimei Chorev, it is an 11-day journey from Chorev, from Har Sinai, Derech Har Seir, by the way of Har Seir, Ad Kodesh Barnea, to get to Kodesh Barnea. This 11-day journey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused you to make it in only 3 days, and that was because he wanted to rush you into Eretz Yisrael. However, you sinned and spent 40 years in the Midbar because of the Avera of the Meraglim. Vayehi, and it was Ba'arboim Shana, in the 40th year, Ba'ashte Osor Chodesh, in the 11th month, Be'echod LaChodesh, on the first day of the month. It was on Rosh Chodesh Shvat of the 40th year, Diber Moshe el Bnei Yisrael, Moshe spoke to the Bnei Yisrael, Kechol Asher Tziva Hashem, according to everything that Hashem commanded Oisai him, Aleihem, to say to them, to say to Klal Yisrael. Why does the Torah state the date when Moshe spoke to Klal Yisrael? Rashi explains that this is to teach us that one should not rebuke another person only close to the time that the one who is giving the Musar is about to die. Just like Moshe rebuked Klal Yisrael 5 weeks before his death. Who did Moshe learn this from? He learned this from Yaakov Avinu, who rebuked Reuven, Shimon, and Levi in Parshas Vayechi right before Yaakov Avinu's death. And Moshe gave this Musar Acharei HaKoisoi after he hit a Sichon Melech HaAmori, Sichon the king of Amori, Asher Yoshev BeChesbon, who lived in Cheshbon. Sichon was a mighty king who lived in a mighty fortified city of Cheshbon, Beis Og Melech HaBoshon, and after he destroyed Og, the king of Boshon, who lived, Asher Yoshev, who lived Ashtoreth BeEdrei, in the mighty city of Ashtoreth in the kingdom of Edrei. Moshe waited to admonish Klal Yisrael until after he destroyed Sichon Va'oi, since if he would have given them Musar before, they would have said, "You are just looking for a way out of giving us Eretz Yisrael. You can't fight the mighty kings of Canaan." However, after they saw how Moshe destroyed Sichon Va'oi, they realized that Moshe was rebuking them out of love and not because he could not bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Be'eva HaYarden, on the other side of the Yarden, on the east side of the Yarden, Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav, Hoyel Moshe, Moshe started Be'er to explain Es HaTorah Azois, this Torah Lemor, saying, Moshe translated the Torah into 70 languages. As Sefer Be'er Basoda says, that after the war against Sichon Va'oig, many nations came to be Megayer and become part of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, in order for these Gerim to understand the Torah, Moshe had to translate the Torah into the 70 languages. I once heard an interesting drush on the word hoyel in this pasuk. We find in the Gemara many times, when the Gemara does not have an answer to a question, the Gemara says teku, which stands for Tishbi, Elioha Tishbi, Gitaretz, he will answer Kushois v'Ibois. Elioha Novi will eventually come and answer these questions. The pasuk over here is telling us that although Moshe be'eres ha-Torah, he explained the Torah, in the future we will have questions and things we do not understand in the Torah, and that will be left for Eliyahu HaNavi to answer. The word Hoyel has the same letters as Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaTishbi will eventually come to answer these questions. Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu b'chorev lemor, Hashem our God spoke to us in Chorev at Har Sinai saying, Rav lochem sheves b'hor hazeh. You spent enough time dwelling by this mountain, it is time to move on, because you spent almost a year by Har Sinai, and now it is time to continue traveling. That is Rashi's first pshat. Rashi's second pshat is, Rav Lochem, you will receive a lot of schar sheves because of your dwelling by this mountain. Because by this mountain, by Har Sinai, you built the Mishkan, you received the Torah, and also you appointed Sanhedrin. So a lot of schar will be coming to you because of your dwelling by this mountain. Pnu turn usu'ulochem, and travel for yourselves the way the Meraglim entered the land, from Arad and Chormo, uvoyu har ho'emori, and come to the mountain of Emori, vel koshcheno, and come to all of its neighbors, to Amoin, Moav, and Edom. Although in Parshas Lech Lecha, Rashi tells us that the lands of Amoin, Moav, and Edom will only be a Yerusha to Klal Yisrael la'osed lavay, that was only because they sinned. If they would not have sinned, they would have captured the lands of Amoin, Moav, and Edom right away. Bo'arovo, enter the Arovo, which is the wooded plains of Eretz Yisrael. Bohor, which is referring to Har HaMelech. Uvashvela, and the lowlands of the south. Uvanegev, the southern part of the country. Uvechoif Hayom, and the cities that are by the sea. Ashkelon, Aza, and Kesari. Eretz HaKenani, the land of the Kenani, the Halavonoin. As the Emek HaNetziv explains, this is referring to the Mokem HaMikdash, the place where the Beis HaMikdash is. And the Beis HaMikdash is called Levonoin from the Lashon of love and white, because through the Karbonos that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael's sins become white. And Rashi also in Parshas Vaschanon, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Hei, on the words Hahor HaToiv HaZeh VaHaLevonoin, also explains Levonoin as being the Beis HaMikdash. Ad HaNahor HaGodol, all the way north, until the great river Nahar Pros, the Euphrates River. And although other rivers are much wider and longer than Nahar Pros, Nahar Pros is called the Great River because it is one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. There is a common saying, a servant of a king is respected like the king. So too, even though the Euphrates was not such a great river, it is called the Great River because it is attached to Eretz Yisrael. Re'eh, see with your own eyes, Nosati Lefnechem Es Ha'oreth, that I have given before you the land. I'm not telling you a report, or I'm not saying something out of speculation. You yourself see that I'm going to give you the land, because you saw what I did to the Mitzrayim, and you saw what I did to Amalek. So too will I destroy the inhabitants of Canaan. Bayu, come, Urushu es ha'oretz, and inherit the land. If you would not have sinned by the Avera of the Meraglim, you would have been able to just walk in and inherit the land. You would not have needed a war or weapons. It is only because of your sin that you have to have a war. Come and inherit the land, Asher Nishba Hashem, that Hashem swore La'avoseichem to your fathers, La'avram, Li'itzchak, Li'Yakov, to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, Loseis, Lohem, to give to them, Ulazaro, Achareihem, and to their children after them. And Rashi explains that once it says La'avoseichem, why does it have to say Avram, Li'itzchak, Li'Yakov? That is to tell you that each one of the Avos was worthy by himself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make this Shvuah to them, that their children should inherit Eretz Yisrael. La'Avram, Avram was worthy by himself, Li'Yitzchak, Yitzchak was worthy by himself, Li'Yakov, and Yaakov was worthy by himself. Va'omer Aleichem, and I said to you, Bo'isahi, at that time, Lamor, saying, and Rashi tells us that the word Lamor over here means that Moshe said that I am not saying this by myself, but rather Lamor, I am saying this from Hashem. Le'ucha levadi se'eseschem, Hashem said that I cannot carry you and judge you alone. And it is inconceivable to think that Moshe Rabbeinu, who did so many miracles and so many nisim for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, could not judge Klal Yisrael by himself. But rather, he meant to say that Hashem elevated Klal Yisrael to such greatness that a judge whose error caused an unjustified loss is worthy of death. That is a burden that even Moshe Rabbeinu could not bear alone. And the pasuk reads like this: Le'ucha levadi se'eseschem. I cannot carry you and judge you alone. Why? Because Hashem elokeichem hirbo eschem. Hashem, your God, has made you too great, and therefore, if I make a mistake when I judge you, the penalty is too great for me to bear. And how great are you? V'hinchem hayoyim. Behold, you are today kichoich ve'ashomayim, like the stars of the heaven, l'roiv, so many. And Rashi is bothered. How can the pasuk say that Klal Yisrael were as many as the stars? They only numbered 600,000 at this time. Therefore, Rashi says that the pasuk means like this: V'hinchem hayoyim. You are today as chashuv as the yoyim, like the sun and the moon, and also kichoich ve'ashomayim. You are as important as the stars of the sky, l'roiv, in greatness. Just like the sun, moon, and the stars are Kayim La'ad, exist forever, so too Klal Yisrael will also live forever. And the pasuk reads like this: V'hinchem kehayoyim, and you are like the day, like the sun, and like the moon, and also ukekoich ve'ashamayim l'roiv, and also like the stars of the sky, l'roiv, in your greatness. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, Hashem, the God of your fathers, Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Pa'amim, He should add to you the number you are right now and multiply you by 1,000 times, Yivarech Eschem, and He should bless you, Kasher Dibra Lochem, like He spoke to you already. And Rashi explains that the bracha of Elef Pa'amim 1,000 times was the bracha that Moshe was giving to Klal Yisrael. And when the pasuk says Vivarech Eschem Kasher Dibalochem, Moshe was saying that Hashem should keep his bracha that he had already given to you earlier, which was the bracha that he gave to Avram, that Klal Yisrael should be as many as the dust of the earth, which cannot be counted. And the Mefarshim ask, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha Ka'afar Ha'oret to be multiplied like the dust of the earth, what is Moshe gaining by giving a bracha of Elef Pa'amim? 1,000 times is much less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha of Ka'afar Ha'oretz. Therefore, the Mefarshim answer that the bracha of Hashem Ka'afar Ha'oretz was a bracha bitnai. It was a conditional bracha. They will only receive this bracha if they keep the mitzvahs and the Torah. However, Moshe's bracha of Elef Pa'amim was unconditional. And Moshe was telling Klal Yisrael, Hashem should bench you to give you the bracha of Ka'afar Ha'oretz. However, even if you do not keep the mitzvahs, you still have my bracha of Elef Pa'amim. I would just like to point out that the correct place for Sheni is after Pasuk Yud Aleph, like we see by the laning of Shabbos Mincha and Monday and Thursday before Parshas Devarim. The Baal Kori lanes until the words Ka'asher Diber Lochem. The reason why some Chumashim have placed Sheni after Pasuk Yud is because on Shabbos Parshas Devarim we stop the Aliyah of Sheni after Pasuk Yud. The reason for this is brought down by the Eshel Avram in Simen Kuf Lamed Ches. Since Parshas Devarim is always the parsha read immediately before Tisha B'Av, and the first word of Pasuk Yud Beis is Eicha, We read it in the Eicha Tum. Eicho eso levadi, torchachem umasachem v'rivichem. Since that is a sad tune, and ke'en teichocha, admonishing Klal Yisrael, we don't want to start the Aliyah with such a tune, and we push back Sheni to Pasuk Yud. And we start the Aliyah with the words, Hashem Elokei Aviseichem Yosef Aleichem. Let us go back now on the Rashis. Zok Rashi Eila HaDevorim. Since these are words of rebuke, and the pasuk lists several places where Klal Yisrael angered Hashem in these places, therefore the pasuk states vaguely these things. It does not mention the averis, but rather only the location, and it mentions them with a hint, because of the honor of Klal Yisrael. The Mefarshim ask, if you look further on in the parasha by Shlishi, Moshe rebukes Klal Yisrael in great detail for the Avera of the Meraglim. What is the difference that here it was only Bederech Remez, and there the rebuke was stated explicitly? There are several terutzim on this question. The Mizrahi answers, since here he was admonishing them for many Averas, it is therefore only stated Bederech Remez. However, for one Avera, like the Meraglim, it was not a bizoyan to go into detail. According to this pshat, the key word in Rashi is kol. When Rashi says, umono kan kol hamakoymos, all the places, several places, since the Torah is stating many places, it is said vaguely. The Gur Aryeh and the Rav Mibar Tanura both answer that Berosh HaSefer, in the beginning of a Sefer, it is a gnai to speak negatively against Klal Yisrael. Just like Rashi says in Parshas Bahaloscha, by the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, that Sefer Bamidbar could not start with the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, because it was a gnai for Klal Yisrael that during the 40 years in the Midbar, they only brought one Karban Pesach. So too here, in the beginning of a Sefer, it would be a gnai to list the Averis in detail. However, later on in the Parsha by Shlishi, we do not have this issue. According to this pshat, the key word in Rashi is kan, umono kan. Since these are listed here, Beroish HaSefer, in the beginning of the Sefer, therefore it has to be Bederech Remez. Maskela David answers yet a third teretz. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was afraid to admonish Klal Yisrael in detail, because he was punished by speaking negatively against Klal Yisrael by the Avera of the Mei Meriva, where over there he called Klal Yisrael Moirim, rebellious ones, when he said, Shimu Naha Moirim, listen now, you rebellious ones. And therefore he was punished, and he was not able to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's why over here Moshe did not want to admonish Klal Yisrael explicitly, but rather vaguely by only mentioning the locations. On that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Loma Ata Misyore, why are you afraid? He told him not to be afraid, and that's why further on in the parasha, Moshe admonishes Klal Yisrael for the Avera of the Meraglim in greater detail. In Sefer Shari Aharon, it is brought down two girsais, two versions of how to read this Rashi. One is the girsa that we have, v'hizkiram boremez, and the Torah mentions these Averis, boremez, vaguely with a hint. Another girsa is, v'hoichicham boremez. Moshe admonishes them, boremez, vaguely with a hint. And these two girsais are really based on the two pshatim we just mentioned. According to the Gur Aryeh, that in the beginning of a Sefer, the Torah does not want to speak negatively against Klal Yisrael, the correct girsa is our girsa, v'hizkiram boremez. The Torah mentions these sins only vaguely. However, according to the Maskel of David, that Moshe himself was afraid to admonish Klal Yisrael explicitly, the girsa would be v'hoichicham boremez. Moshe admonished them vaguely until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he should not be afraid and he should admonish them explicitly. Zok Rashi El Kol Yisrael, Moshe spoke these words of rebuke to all of Klal Yisrael. Ilu hoichich miksason, if Moshe would have rebuked only part of them, hoyu elu shebishuk omrim, the ones in the marketplace would have said, atem hoyisem shoimim mi ben Amram, you heard these words from Moshe the son of Amram. V'lo hashi voisim dava mikach v'kach, you did not answer him with this and this answer. Ilu hayinu sham, if we were there, hayinu meshivin oisai, we would have answered him, we would have had a response for his words of Musar. L'kach konsum kulam, that's why Moshe gathered them all together, v'omar lohem, and he said to them, Hare kulchem kan, you all are here together, kol mi sheyesh loy teshuva yoshin, whoever has a response, let him respond now.
And Rashi continues by explaining the places where they sinned. So Rashi ba-midbar, in the midbar. Lo ba-midbar hayu, they weren't in the midbar at this time. Elo ba-arvis mayav, they were in arvis mayav, the plains of mayav. So why does it say ba-midbar? Umahu ba-midbar, what does it mean in the midbar? Elo, rather, the pasuk is listing the locations of the sins. Bishvil ma shechisu ba-midbar, because of the avera where they angered Hashem in the midbar. She'amru, because in the midbar, in midbar sin, when they ran out of food, they said, "Miitein musenu halavai, that we should have died in Mitzrayim rather than dying of hunger in the midbar." Zakrashi bo arava, bishvil ho arava, because of the avera that took place in arava. Shechatu b'val pa'or, they sinned with the avera of worshipping Baal Pa'or b'shitim, in the place called Shitim, b'arvois mayav, in the plains of mayav. Mayal suf, opposite the Yamsuf. Amash himru b'yamsuf, because of their rebellion by the Yamsuf. Bivoyam liyamsuf, when they came to the Yamsuf, she'amru, because over there they said, hamebli en kfarim b'mitzrayim, is it because of the lack of kfarim in Mitzrayim that you took us over here to the midbar to kill us here? V'chein, and also b'nosam mitoychayom, when they traveled out of the sea, she'nemar, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'yamru al hayom b'yamsuf, and they rebelled about the sea in the Yamsuf. K'de'isa b'erichin, like it explains in Masechta Erichin. Over there the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael complained when they went out of the Yamsuf, and they said, just like we are coming out alive on this side, so too the Mitzrayim came out alive on the other side and are continuing to chase us. Zok Rashi bein Paron uvein Teufel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Chozarnu al kol hamikra, we have gone through and gone over all the psukim, v'loy matzinu makom sheshmoy Teufel v'lavon, and we have not found a place whose name is Teufel or Lavon. Ella, rather, was pshat haychichon, he admonished them al hadivarim shetoflu al hamon shehulavon, concerning how they slandered the mon which was white. Teufel means the slandering lavon of the mon which is white. Sheamru, because they said concerning the mon, v'nafshenu kotzo balechem hakaloikel, our souls are disgusted by this light bread, as it is stated in Parshas Chukas. And what does the pasuk mean when it says bein paron? Zok Rashi, va'amasha osu b'midbar paron, the avera they did in midbar paron, ayidei hameraglim, by sending the spies. Zok Rashi v'chatzeros, what happened in chatzeros? Rashi brings down two pshatim, v'machlokusay shel karach, the machloikis of karach, karach's rebellion took place in chatzeros. There is a bit of a problem with this Rashi, because based on this Rashi, it would come out that the story of Korach happened before the Avera of the Meraglim. Because if the story of Korach happened in Chatzeros, we know that the story of the Meraglim happened in Midbar Paran, and the Yidden were first in Chatzeros and then in Midbar Paran. So based on this Rashi, the story of Korach happened first, and then the story of the Meraglim. The problem with that is that this contradicts Rashi in Parshas Korach, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Dalet, where over there Rashi says that the story of Korach was the fourth Avera, while the story of the Meraglim was the third Avera. Rashi there clearly says that the Maisa HaMeraglim happened first, and afterwards was the Maisa, the rebellion of Korach. The Mizrahi is not too bothered by this question, because he says that this is the way of Rashi to say in one place like one Manda Omar, like one opinion, and in another place like another Manda Omar, like another opinion. Sefer Devek Toiv offers another teretz, and he says that of course Rashi in Parshas Korach is correct, that first was the Maisa HaMeraglim and afterwards the rebellion of Korach. However, in Chatzeros, Elitzofan ben Uziel was chosen as the Nasi of Kahos, and that caused Korach to be very jealous, because he wanted to be the Nasi of Kahos and not Elitzofan ben Uziel. And since Elitzofan was chosen, Korach decided to rebel against Moshe and Aharon and to mock everything that they said. Since the cause of the rebellion took place in Chatzeros, the Torah mentions Maisa Korach as if it happened in Chatzeros, although it actually took place in Midbar Paron after the Maisa HaMeraglim. And Rashi says a second pshat in Chatzeros, Dova Acher, another pshat, Amar Lahem, Moshe said to them, you should have learned from what I did to Miriam in Chatzeros because of the Lashon Hara that she spoke, and she was punished with Tzaras. And you did not learn from that story, and you spoke against Hashem, and you said that the giants of Canaan are stronger than Hashem. And the Avera that you did because of the abundance of gold, Hechichon, he admonished them alo egel she'asu, because of the egel that they did, v'shvil roiv zav she'hoylehem, because of the abundance of gold that they had. V'dizav, because of the abundance of gold. She'nemar, like the Pasuk says, v'kesef herbesi lo, and I gave them a lot of money, v'zav osu labal, and they used the gold for the avodah zarah bal. Zok Rashi, achar osu yoyme chorev, it is an 11-day journey from chorev, from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Amar lehem Moshe, Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, Ru'u ma garamtem, look what you caused. Ein lochem derech kitzara, there is no shorter route, mechorev, from Sinai, l'kodesh Barnea, to go to Kodesh Barnea, kederech har seir, like the way of going through har seir. Va'af hu mahalach yud alf yoyim, and that still is a journey of 11 days. Ve'atem halachtem oisoy b'shloshi yomim, and you did this journey, this 11-day journey, in 3 days. And Rashi proves it. Sharei be'esrim be'ir nosu mechorev, because on the 20th day of Iyar, they traveled from Sinai, from Chorev. Shenema, like the Pasuk says, Vayihi b'shono ha-shenis, b'chodesh ha-sheni, b'esr b'chodesh, and it was in the second year that they went out of Mitzrayim, in the second month of Iyar, on the 20th day. So we see that they left Har Sinai on the 20th day of Iyar. U'v'chof tes b'sivon sholchu es ha-meraglim. And on the 29th day of Sivan, they sent the meraglim mikodesh Barnea, from Kodesh Barnea. So we see that they were in Kodesh Barnea on the 29th day of Sivan, which means from the time that they left Sinai, which was the 20th day of Iyar, until they were in Kodesh Barnea, which was the 29th day of Sivan, that is a difference of 39 days. And Rashi will now prove that out of those 39 days, they only traveled for 3 days, and they were in one place for the rest of the time. Because when Klal Yisrael left Sinai, they traveled to Kivros HaTaiva, and from there to Chatzeros, and first from Chatzeros to Midbar Paran. And Rashi tells us, Say Mayhem, take out of those 39 days, Lamed Yom 30 days, She'osu b'Kivros HaTaiva, that they spent in Kivros HaTaiva, She'ochlu HaBosa Chodesh Yomim, because the Pasuk says that they ate meat for 1 month. So we have to take away 30 days from that Cheshbin, from that calculation, because they were not traveling during that time. B'shiva yomim, and you must take away 7 days, she'asu b'chatzeros, that they spent in chatzeros, lihisoge shom Miriam, when Miriam was locked up over there, michutz la'machane, when she had tzaras. And therefore they were not traveling during those 7 days. Nimsa, it comes out, b'shloisha yomim, in 3 days, holchu kol ois ha'aderech, they traveled this whole journey, because most of the time, they were in one place, they were not traveling. So if you subtract the days that they remained in one location when they were eating the meat, and the days that they were waiting for Miriam, there were only 3 days left, and those were the 3 days that they traveled. So we see that an 11-day journey only took 3 days. We must clarify one point in this calculation, because we mentioned earlier that from the time that they left Sinai until the time they came to Kadesh Barnea was 39 days, and then Rashi says, take away 30, which they spent in Kivros HaTaiva, and 7, which they spent waiting for Miriam in Chatzeros, so that's 37 days. 37 to 39 is only 2 days. According to this calculation, it would come out that they traveled for 2 days, not for 3 days. Maskela David answers that when Rashi says that they spent 30 days in Kivros HaTaiva, he is counting the day that they traveled from Sinai to Kivros HaTaiva. And it was only 29 days that they were actually in Kivros HaTaiva. And when the Pasuk says that they ate meat for Chodesh Yomim, it does not mean 30 days, it means a month's worth of days, which is 29 days, because a typical month has 29 days. And the calculation is as follows. They traveled from Sinai on the 20th day of Iyar. On the 29th day of Sivan, they were in Kadesh Barnea, which is a total of 39 days from the time that they left Sinai until they came to Kadesh Barnea. So Rashi tells us we must take off 29 days where they ate meat in Kivros HaTaiva, and we must take off 7 days where they spent waiting for Miriam in Chatzeros. 29 plus 7 is 36. So it comes out that out of the 39 days, 36 days they were not traveling. So we see that they traveled for 3 days. In 3 days, they did a trip that should have taken 11 days. Zok Rashi, v'chol kach hoise shechina mislabetes b'shvilchem, and so much did the shechina want to rush you, l'maher b'yaschem la'ores, to rush you to come into Eretz Yisrael, u'b'shvil shekilkaltem, since you sinned, heisev eschem svivos har seir mem shana. Hashem caused you to go around and wander around har seir for 40 years. Hashem wanted to bring you right away into Eretz Yisrael. An 11-day trip only took 3 days, but you sinned and caused that you would be in the Midbar for 40 years. Zukrashi vayihi barboim shona. It was in the 40th year, ba'ashti osa chodesh, in the 11th month, in the month of Shvat. Ve'echod lachodesh amrish chodesh Shvat. Why does the pasuk tell us when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael? So Rashi Malamed, it teaches us Shaloi Hechichon Ela Samach Lemisa. He only admonished them near the time that he died, near the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Mimi Lomad, who did he learn this from? Miyakov, he learned it from Yaakov Avinu. Shaloi Hechich Esbonov Ela Samach Lemisa. He did not admonish his children only near the time of his death. Omar, Yaakov said, Reuven Bini, Reuven my son, I will tell you why I did not admonish you all these years. Today, in order, you should not leave me, and go and join up with Esav, my brother. Yaakov was afraid that if he would have admonished Reuven earlier, Reuven would have joined up with Esav. As the Maharik explains, Reuven and Esav had something in common. Esav lost his Bechira because he sold it to Yaakov, and Reuven, because of his Aveira, that he moved Yaakov's bed from Bilhah's tent to Leah's tent. Therefore, he lost his Bechira and went to Yosef. Yaakov was afraid that since they both had something in common, Esav lost his Bechira and Reuven lost his Bechira, if Yaakov would admonish Reuven earlier on in his life, Reuven might have joined up with Esav HaRasha. And Rashi continues, "Umetnei dalid dvarim, because of four things, four reasons, ein moichichin es ha'odom ela samach lemisa, we did not admonish a person only close to the time that the one who is giving the rebuke will die. Kedei shelo yehi moichichoi v'choizer u'moichichoi, in order that the one who is giving the musr should not give musr many times. If he gives the rebuke earlier on in his life, he will constantly be rebuking the other person. Therefore, the rebuke should be pushed off until right before the one who is giving the rebuke is about to die. And although the Gemara learns out from the pasuk Hoicheach Toicheach Es Amisecho, the double lashon of Hoicheach Toicheach, you should admonish your friend, that we learn out Afilu Elef Pamim, even 1,000 times you should rebuke your friend. So how can Rashi over here say that we do not want him to be Meichichai V'Choizer U'Meichichai? The Mefarshim explained that before the person does the Avera, or while he's doing the Avera, one should be Hecheach Techiach, admonish him many times. However, once he already did the Avera and did Tshuva on this Avera, the only admonishment should come Samach Lemisa, near the time that the person who is giving the rebuke is about to die. Zok Rashi, another reason why the one who is giving the rebuke should only give this rebuke before he is about to die, V'shelo yeheh Chavera Roi'ehu U'mespayesh Mimenu, in order that the one who is receiving the rebuke should not have to face the one giving the rebuke many times and be embarrassed from this person. Therefore, the rebuke should be given right before the one who is giving the rebuke is about to die. This way, the one who received the rebuke will not have to face the one who is giving the musr. Kide'isa v'sefri, like it says in the Sefri. V'chein Yeshua lo yechiech es Yisrael el samach lemisa. Yeshua also did not admonish Klal Yisrael only near the time that Yeshua was about to die. Shmuel, and so too Shmuel did not give rebuke until before his death. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, Hinni Anuvi, here I am, testify against me. Those were the words of Shmuel when he gave rebuke. David Shlomo benoi, and David also did not give rebuke to Shlomo his son, only Samach Lemisa near the time of his death. So we see this concept of Ein Moichichin Es Ha'odom Ela Samach Lemisa in five places. We see it by Yaakov Avinu, by Moshe, by Yehoshua, by Shmuel, and by David. Zokrashi Acharei HaKoisoi, these words of Musa were given by Moshe after he destroyed Sichon and Oig. Omar Moshe said, Imani Moichicham Koidem Sheikonsu L'Ksas Ha'oretz, if I would give them Musa before they entered part of Eretz Yisrael, Yomru, they would say, Malazel Leinu, what does he have on us? Ma Hetiv Lanu, what good did Moshe Rabbeinu do for us? Eino Bo El Lekanter, he's only coming to anger us, v'limsei ilo, and to find a reason not to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. Shein by koyach lachni senu la'oretz, he has no power to bring us into the land. L'fichach, therefore, himten, Moshe waited, at shehipol sichon va'oig lefneihem, until he overthrew Sichon and Oig before them, v'yrishom es artzom, and he gave them their land as a possession. V'achar kachoy chichon, and afterwards, he gave them Musar. Zok Rashi, Sichon asher yoshev b'cheshbon, why does it say the place where Sichon lived? So Rashi, ilu loy haya sichen kasha, if sichen was not powerful, vaya shari bechezboin, but he would live in Chezboin, haya kasha, he would still be powerful. Shehamedina kasha, it was a very strong and fortified city. Ilu haya iracheres, and if sichen lived in a different city, sichen shari besecha, sichen lived in that city, haya kasha, he still would be powerful. Shehamelach kasha, because sichen was a powerful king. Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so. Shamelach kasha, when you have the strong king of Sichon, v'amedina kasha, living in the powerful and fortified city of Cheshbon. Asher yoshev v'ashtaras, so too Rashi says that Oig lived in the strong city of Ashtaras. Hamelach kasha v'amedina kasha, it was a powerful king, Oig, in a powerful medina of Ashtaras. Ashtaras, hu lashon sukin v'kushi, it is a language of cliffs and harshness. The name Ashtaras, the name of the city, was given to it because it was a powerful city. The word Ashtaras means powerful. K'may Ashtaras Karnayim, like we see, the city was called Ashtaras Karnayim. And we know over there, Karnayim means horns. And the only reason why a city would be called Karnayim horns is to show its power. So too, the word Ashtaras is showing the power of the city. The Ashtaras Zeh, who Ashtaras Karnayim? This Ashtaras over here is the same Ashtaras Karnayim mentioned in Parshas Lech Lecha. Shehayu Sham Rafayim, because the giants lived there. Shehika Amraphel, when Amraphel destroyed the giants in Ashtaras Karnayim. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayaku es Rafayim, and they destroyed the giants by Ashtaras Karnayim in the city of Ashtaras Karnayim. Va'og Nimlat Mehem, and Oig escaped from these giants. Vahu Shenemar, and that's why the Pasuk says, Vayovai HaPolit. Oig was called the Polit, the refugee. Where did he escape from? He escaped from the war, and he escaped from Amraphel. Ba'omer, and the Pasuk says, Ki rak Oig melech ha-boshon. Only Oig Nishar remained Mieser ha-refayim from the remaining giants. All the other giants were killed by Amraphel in Ashtaras Karnayim, and he was the only one that remained. So Rashi is telling us that this Ashtaras is the same Ashtaras Karnayim where the giants lived before Amraphel destroyed them. And that's where Oig lived at this time. So Rashi be'edrei, Rashi is bothered. Did Oig live in Ashtaras, or did he live in Edrei? Rashi says that Edrei is Shem Hamalchus. Edrei is the name of the kingdom. Ashtaras is the name of the city. Be'edrei in the kingdom of Edrei. Zok Rashi hoyel hischil. It means that Moshe started. He started to explain the Torah in 70 languages. K'moy, like the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayera, Hinei noho'alti, Avram said, behold, I have just started to speak to Hashem. And although, if you look in Parshas Vayera, Perik Yudches, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Rashi Divrei HaMaschil Hoyalti, Rashi does not say it means that I started, but rather Ratzisi, I wanted. So how can Rashi over here say that Hoyalti means Hischil, to start? The Mefarshim explain that in Parshas Vayera, it says the word Hoyalti twice. The first time is in Pasuk Chav Zayin, where it says, Hinei no Hoyalti Ladaber El Hashem. And the second time is in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Rashi over here that says the word Hoyel means Hischil, like it says in Parshas Vayera, is referring to the first time when Avram said Hinei no Ho'alti in Pasuk Chav Zayin. And there it means that I have just started to speak to Hashem. However, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, when Avram says the second time, it means I wanted to speak to Hashem. Zok Rashi Be'er Es HaTorah, he explained the Torah. B'Shivim Loshen Pirshu Lohem, he translated it into 70 languages. Zok Rashi Rav Lochem Sheves, you have spent enough time Bahor Hazeh. Kipshutai, Rashi says the simple meaning is the way it sounds, that you have spent enough time at this mountain, it's time to move on. Yesh Medrash Agodo, however, there is a Medrash that says Harbe Gedula Lochem, you have a lot of greatness, Uschar, and you will receive a lot of reward, Al Yeshivaschem Bahor Hazeh, because of your dwelling in this mountain. Rav Lochem means you will receive a lot of Schar. Why? Asisa Mishkan, because at this mountain you made the Mishkan, Menorah v'Kelim, the Menorah and the Kelim. Kibaltim Torah, you received the Torah at this mountain at Sinai. Monisim Lochem Sanhedrin, and you appointed over yourselves Sanhedrin, Sore Alofim v'Sore Meos, leaders over 1,000 and leaders over 100. So since so many great things happened at this mountain at Har Sinai, Rav Lochem, you will receive a lot of Schar. And the Maskil Ladavid asks, why does Rashi place the Mishkan before Kabbalas HaTorah? We know that Klal Yisrael first received the Torah, and afterwards they built the Mishkan. So why does Rashi say, Asisa Mishkan, and then afterwards, Kibaltem HaTorah? Maskil Adavit answers that Klal Yisrael might say that there isn't any reward for receiving the Torah, since we made the Egel right afterwards, which would wipe away the whole reward of Kabbalah HaTorah. Therefore, Rashi prefaces Kabbalah HaTorah with the building of the Mishkan, because when Hashem rested His Shechina on Klal Yisrael through the Mishkan, that showed Klal Yisrael that He forgave them for the Avera of the Egel. Because of the Mishkan, they saw that there will be a reward for Kabbalah HaTorah because Hashem forgave them. That is why Rashi places the Mishkan before Kabbalah HaTorah. Zok Rashi, Penu Usulachem, turn and travel for yourselves. Zuderach Arad v'Chorma, this is the way of Arad and Chorma, which was the way the Meraglim went to spy on the land. Uvoyu Har HaEmori, and come to the mountain of Emori, K'mashmoi, the way it sounds. Vel Kol Shechenov, and come to all its neighbors. Amoin Umoyov v'Har Seir, Amoin Moyov and Har Seir. Were it not for the Avera of the Meraglim, Klal Yisrael would have overtaken and captured these lands too. For Arova Zemisho Shel Yar, this is referring to the wooden plains. Bahor Zehar HaMelech, this is referring to a place called Har HaMelech. Uvashvelo Zushiflas Dorum, this is the lowlands of the south. Uvanegev and the south. Uvachoyf Hayom and the cities by the sea. Ashkelon, Azo, and Kesari, Kideisa Bisafri. Ad Hanahor HaGodol, until the great river. Why was the Euphrates considered great if it was not the largest or the widest? Nation Izkar in Eretz Yisrael, Kare Godol. Because it is mentioned as part of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, it is called Godol, great. Mashal Hedyot, there is a common saying, Omer, that says, Eved Melech Melech, the servant of a king, is a king. A second saying is, Hadbeit L'shachvar V'yishtachavuloch, attach yourself to a nobleman, and they will bow down to you. And a third saying is, Karav L'gabe Dehino, come in contact with an anointed person, V'idehen, and you will also become anointed. These are three sayings, which means that somebody who is in contact or is near somebody great will also be considered great. And since Nahar Pras was attached to Eretz Yisrael, it was considered Gadol. The Ayin B'Sefer Maskel David, who asks why we need three examples, Eved Melech Melech, Hadbek L'Shachvar V'Yishtachvuloch, and Krav L'Gabi Dehina V'Hidehen, why wasn't it sufficient with just one example? Zagrashi Re'ei Nosati, see that I have given you the land. Be'einechem Atem Royim, with your own eyes you can see. Eini Omer Lachem Umad, I am not telling you this out of speculation, Umishmua, or from a report. But rather, with your own eyes you can see that I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. You see that I destroyed the Mitzriim, and you see that I have destroyed Amalek. So too will I destroy the inhabitants of Canaan. Bayu Kav Urishu, come and take possession of the land. Eini Ma'ar B'dover, there was no one objecting to you taking this land. Ve'einchem tri'chem l'machamo, and you do not need a war. Ilu lo sholchu ha-meraglim, if you would have not have sent the meraglim, lo tri'chem l'klei zayin, you would not have needed any weapons to fight a war. Zot Rashi la'avoy seichem, the land that I swore to your fathers. Frek Rashi lomo hizkir shuv la'avrom li'yitzchak li'yakov, why does the pasuk mention afterwards to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, after having already said Lavoisechem to your fathers? Ela, Avram kedai la'atzmai, Yitzchak kedai la'atzmai, and Yaakov kedai la'atzmai. Each one of the Avos were worthy in their own right to receive the promise that Hashem would give their children Eretz Yisrael. Avram was worthy on his own, Yitzchak was worthy on his own, and Yaakov was worthy on his own. So Rashi, Va'omer aleichem bo'esahi lemar, and I said to you at this time, saying, Mahu Lamar, what does the word Lamar mean in this pasuk? Amar lahem Moshe. Moshe said to them, Loi me atzmi ani omer lochem, I am not telling you this for myself. Elo mi pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is Hashem who is saying this. Hashem is saying that I, Moshe Rabbeinu, cannot judge Klal Yisrael by myself. Leuchel levadi se'eseschem, I cannot carry you by myself. Zok Rashi, efshar shaloi hayo Moshe yochel lodon es Yisrael, is it possible that Moshe was not capable of judging Klal Yisrael? Adam Shaitzia mi Mitzrayim, the one who did so many great things for them. He took them out of Mitzrayim. Vikara lahem es hayom, and split the sea for them. Vahurid es hamon, and brought down the mon. Vihigis es haslov, and caused the slav, the birds, to fly. Loiha yochel adoinam, he was not capable of judging them. Elakach omer lahem, but rather this is what Moshe said. Hashem elekechem hir be'eschem, Hashem has made you too great. Higdil veherim eschem al dayonechem, He made you greater than your judges. Notal esa'unish mikem, He took away the punishment from you who sinned. Venosnu al adayonim, and placed it on the judges who may inadvertently render a wrong decision about you. V'chein amr Shloimeh, and so does Shloimeh HaMelech say, Ki mi yuchal lishpat es amcha akobed hazeh? Who can judge this great and heavy nation? Is it possible that the person who it is written about, that he is smarter than all people, Shlomo HaMelech was the smartest person ever to live? Omer, he says, Miyucha Lishpoy, how can I judge this nation? Elakach Omer Shlomo, this is what Shlomo said. Ein Dayoni Umazu, Kedayoni Shar Umais Avdei Elilim. The judges of this nation are different than the judges of the Goyim. She'im Don, because if a guy judges v'horeg and kills umake and hits v'choneg and strangles umate es dinoy and perverts his judgment v'goizel and he robs and he does this inadvertently ein b'kach klum, nothing will happen to him. Ani, however, I, a Jewish judge, im chayafti mamish shloikedin, if inadvertently I make somebody liable of money unjustly, nefoshes ani nitpa, my life is demanded of me. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, V'koiva es koiveim nefesh, and Hashem will take away the souls of the ones who rob. So Rashi, V'hinchem ayoim kichoich ve'ashamayim, and you are today like the stars of the sky. V'k Rashi, V'chi kichoich ve'ashamayim hoyu ba'isa hayoim, were they actually as many as the stars on that day? V'haloi loy hoyu el samach riboy, they only numbered 600,000. So mahu v'hinchem ayoim, how can the Pasuk say you are today like the stars of the sky? And for Rashi, Hinchem Meshulim Kayoim, you are compared like the day, which means you are compared to the sun and the moon. Kayomim La'olam, existing forever, Kachama, like the sun, V'chalavono, and the moon, V'kakoychovim, and like the stars. According to this Rashi, the Pasuk must read like this, V'hinchem Kehayoim, and you are like the day, like the sun and the moon, U'kichoych V'ashamayim, and like the stars of the sky. Zok Rashi, Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Pomim, Moshe blessed Klal Yisrael that they will be multiplied by 1,000. Mahu Shuv Vivorech Eschem Kasher Dibelochem. What did he say afterwards? That Hashem will bench you like he has spoken to you? Ela rather, Amulai. They said to him, Klal Yisrael said, Moshe, Ata Noisin Kitzva LeBrichaseinu. You are giving a set amount to our bracha. Kvar Eftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avram. Hashem had already blessed Avram and promised him with a much greater bracha, Asher im yuchal ish limnois, that it says over there that you will be so many and so numerous that nobody will be able to count you. You will be like the dust of the earth. Amar lehem, Moshe said to them, Zu mishelihi, this bracha of 1,000 times is for me. Aval hu yivarech esem kasher dibelochem. However, Hashem will bench you and continue to bench you like he has already said to you, which means that you will be like the dust of the earth. As we explained, that Klal Yisrael will be like the dust of the earth if they keep the Torah. However, Moshe's bracha is unconditional. No matter what, you will be blessed 1,000 times.